Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
This is the Broadway Boys Podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network, and you're listening to Season 3, Episode 3, as Andy, that's me, is without James. But don't worry, I got the Gibby here with me. This is the type of rap you can only get on this podcast. No James today, but luckily I'm lucky to have the best analyst west of the Hudson River, and fan favorite of the podcast, Gibby, is here with me, and we're going to talk all things New York Rangers, New Jersey Devils, and just general feelings on all the chaos that's happened in the first week and a half of the NHL regular season. So, Gib, I'm going to ask you what James usually asks me. How are you doing?
Thrilled to be here. You texted me 5 minutes ago about this. Ready to rip.
I love it. Yeah, Gibby's—he told me he had to grab a seltzer, which I think is code for White Claw.
No. I'm not on the piss just yet.
Okay, no. It's 1:25 in the afternoon as we record this.
We have to go to work later.
Yeah, we have to work later.
I'm drinking the Target Good and Gather Tropical Cherry Water. Highly recommended. I think it's $2.69 for an 8-pack.
Nice.
Some of the best around.
Well, there you go. So, I brought you on for hockey analyst. I'm already getting picks for the best seltzer. So,
and I have no voice. I feel like I have no voice today after screaming at Jeremy Lazan for that scumbag play on Jack Hughes last night.
Well, yeah.
But we'll get to that later.
We'll definitely get to that later. So, what crazy first week and a half in the NHL season. I do, before we get into the nitty gritty and the down and dirty details of both teams, I do want to ask Gib, going into this season, what was your general thoughts on the offseason the Devils had? Did you think they were going to be better than last season? Because obviously it was a rough one for them last year. But, I mean, good moves made by Shiro as your general manager, right?
No, he's gone. He up and left, remember? He just said, I've had enough. See you later. They got Fitzgerald, and
it's a mystery
of whether or not he's in long term. No one really knows. He's just kind of there. I don't think they ever formally extended him or at least announced an extension. He's doing good. I was thrilled with the offseason. This was the happiest offseason I've had in a very, very, very long time. And I'm very happy with the start they've had. I can't believe I'm talking this highly about the New Jersey Devils.
I know. If anyone who knows you, Gib, knows that even you might be one of the most pessimistic Devils fan there is. But yeah, I mean, Dougie Hamilton, obviously an awesome get for them. They low-key signed some pretty good middle six guys. Tomáš Tatar, that's right.
They traded for Graves from Colorado, which was... That guy's a monster. Good Lord, he's big. Whew.
Yeah, he's a big boy. He was a Ranger, and then they traded him away.
Yeah, you know, the Rangers, they went and added all these monsters, the guys who could fight, and they had one right in their system. He played his first game last night. He looked like a lunatic. It was great.
Yeah, and Mason Geertsen, former, I'd say Hartford Wolf Packer, part-time New York Ranger debuting for the Devils, right?
Yeah, so. he did his job.
Yeah. So, needless to say, you sound very happy with at least with the start the Devils have had. As far as the head coach goes, former New York Rangers assistant coach Lindy Ruff, what are your overall feelings on him? Are you happy? You know, obviously, you can only do so much with the roster they had last year and the age of the players, but they have a little bit more talent. Their younger players took a step forward. So are you still happy with Lindy Ruff behind the bench?
I'm going to throw last year out the window completely. Between a weird year, the whole team got COVID. They had to play every other day. They didn't even have real time to practice. No nothing. They had nothing to work with this guy. You know, some aging players. I'm looking at this is a clean. He's on a clean slate with me. I'm good with him right now. I don't like the special teams. Everything Mark Recchi's doing is bad.
Well, who knows? It's early in the season, so maybe these things will shore up a little bit. But at least 5-on-5 from the limited viewings I've had of the Devils so far. They look good. They're whipping the puck around. They're using their speed, which they seem to have a greater abundance of team speed. You know, and even guys like I think Subban look like they're at least being hidden a little bit more effectively in terms of the overall talent around him. So, seems like a winning combination. And obviously Dougie scores literally on the first shot as a New Jersey Devil.
I was at an engagement party watching at the bar when that happened. And I almost jumped on top of the table. I went nuts. I loved it. Couldn't believe what I was watching. But I've seen that movie before of they looked great in the first two periods in, I think, 2019. And then Schneider went down. And the rest of the season was in the can after the second period of opening night. And then Chicago came back down 3-1. And Hughes had that ridiculous goal in celebration in overtime.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it's the Ranger fan in me was a little like it hurts to see Hughes excelling and doing so well and look like he's finally coming out of his shell. But that was a nasty goal. And like you said, the celebration might have even been better than the goal,
I saw the alternate angle where the stick actually hits some Blackhawks fan square in the face. I just can only imagine how that has to feel. Just getting scored on, as a fan, just getting scored on, and then this guy's stick just flying over the boards, smashing into the face, and then getting beer poured all over you by a bunch of drunks from New Jersey. It's great.
Yeah. Chicago, to the surprise, the surprise of no one on this podcast, not looking very good. Yet to have their first win. And I think Montreal is the other team that hasn't won yet. But
did they get rid of Bergevin?
No, Mark Bergevin is still their general manager.
I saw all these rumblings a day or two ago that he was out, but maybe.
I don't know if you can necessarily. I mean, the team he put together technically went to the Stanley Cup. Well, they did went to the Cup final last season, and I just don't know. I don't know why they couldn't keep, obviously, Carey Price and Shea Weber. There's nothing you can do about that. You know, Shea Weber is an injury. His career might be done. Carey Price is having a personal issue. Yeah, so obviously they're letting him do that. So we hope he's good. But, you know, they lose Philip Deneau, and it's for years, it seems like they had been going. There have been behind the scenes arguments about where he sees himself in terms of the organization. And clearly even though he's a very, very good defensive player, it seems like Montreal and Bergevin is higher on the upside of Nick Suzuki, which doesn't surprise me. But yeah, I guess Deneau felt a little slighted by that for whatever reason, and he just wanted another chance elsewhere. And you lose that many good pieces. You lose your number one defenseman. You lose your best shutdown center. You lose your goaltender who was your starting goaltender, and it's a recipe for disaster. Yeah, so yeah,
absolutely.
Look a little out of sorts, but
maybe I just saw some. I saw him trending on Twitter, and then I don't know. Maybe it was a fake account. Who knows? But whatever. Anyway,
who knows?
How are you feeling about the Rangers so far? I think they've looked pretty good. I've watched two. Well, they played what, three games?
Four games.
Four.
They're 2-1-1. So the weird thing is, and I guess not the weird thing, because. I'm used to last season, the Rangers having pretty good performances where they ultimately blow it in the last few minutes. Now, where it's like, they look like a team that's trying to figure out a new way of doing things. They have new personnel. They have a new coach. Their system is supposed to be much simpler, but it's still a new system and it's more about the habits. So, yeah, I mean, there hasn't been much offensive chemistry going around. They're not scoring a lot of goals because last year they would just kind of stay on the perimeter, whip the puck around and play a little bit of pond hockey, which is great during the regular season. You get a lot of pretty goals, but then all of a sudden down the stretch and then in the postseason, those teams get weeded out pretty quickly. So I like the fact that they're trying to, their bottom six looks good. I mean, credit to Chris Drury. He wanted to transform that bottom six. You could say he overpaid to do so massively by trading Buchnevich in a second and overpaying Barkley Goodrow. But you know, they look good. I mean, Ryan Reeves, I thought I was a little bit worried that for what they were getting him for, he was going to be an anchor on the ice, but he's been pretty effective. He looks pretty, apparently he had an injury last year with Vegas. So he didn't play a lot of time and he looked tad slower. He's still slow as molasses.
I was worried about him with that incident with him and PK.
Oh yeah,
his ankle. I'm happy he recovered from that quickly. I thought that was going to be a lot worse than
it. Yeah, was. It looked horrible. Yeah. And then he was smiling and like he said, "Yeah, I'm fine." And he made a joke about it. Prepare all summer for 230 pounds to like end up over my ankle. He turned to a little joke.
Yeah,
but then he did. Then they asked him about if he thought it was clean, and he said not really, but he said the league does. And then he made a quip about, "Well, we play them plenty this season, so." You don't know if that's just him being him for interest, to get to gas up the team or for the media. Because, I if you want my honest take on it, it obviously wasn't intentional, but I just think PK is a guy who kind of has a history of doing some of that type of stuff.
Was I with you talking about this play and being like, well, PK has a history of slew footing people? I was like, does he? I don't know about that.
He does. Yeah, he does.
And they just pulled up like 50 videos. It was this you who did this? And they just pulled up.
It wasn't me, but I know because after it happened, I was like,
all right, well, you're right.
Yeah, someone said something to me about PK likes to go in and stick his foot out to try to get guys to stumble back a bit. And someone pulled up a video and showed it to me, one of my buddies, and it was literally like a sizzle reel of PK like going into the corner, like getting his foot out, and guys just kind of buckling like backwards slightly to take their stick off the puck momentarily. So I was like, oh, so that's the thing. It's one of those things where I don't think he's trying to hurt Reeves, but at the same time, he learned, I don't know, maybe some vet taught him, some throwback guy is like, in his first year in Montreal, is like, you to really get these guys off the game, you have to throw out your foot. And then, he's like, take him. I was like, all right, I guess that's what you gotta be sneaky dirty. But, he's fine. So it is what it is. As far as the Rangers go, yeah, I'm happy. Like I said, I'm happy because I don't think they had their best performance, obviously, against the Maple Leafs the other night, but they've had plenty of good moments in their first three games.
Incredible.
He looks like he wants to win the Vezina. So I'm obviously very happy with Igor.
Performance on that guy.
Yes. And we'll definitely get to Igor's performance. I will say it is very weird watching Igor put on these performances and then in between periods going to the MSG studio with Lundqvist talking about like goaltending performances. It's very surreal.
Yeah.
And this prick is already a very good broadcaster, as if he wasn't,
of course,
have too much shit going for him. But yeah, overall, I'm happy with the Rangers. I'm hoping they find a little bit more because they're usually been very among the tops of the league the last couple seasons in scoring chances. But obviously, defensively, they've been a little bit porous. But this year, they're actually pretty good. They've become more of a low event team. They don't give up a lot of high danger chances. And I think that's Gallant's style. But again, he's not about pretty passing plays. So trying to teach Zibanejad and Panarin and Lafreniere and Strome and all these guys to not try to always just overpass and make the pretty play and just kind of play a little bit more meat and potatoes game has been a little bit more uphill. And then, I think everyone with the Golden Knights, he had basically the grinders and the muckers and the cast-offs who just GMs knew they couldn't afford to lose in favor of their young talent. So they just kind of sent them to Vegas with a chip on their shoulders and they all knew how to play systems and play off the puck. So he had a perfect combination for his style there, but it's going to take a little bit longer with the Rangers. But yeah, they're, like I said, they're 2-1-1.
I thought he got kind of a raw deal out there.
Yeah, and he got a kind of a raw deal with the Panthers when they hired
on the side of the road. That was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was
just leave the guy out, just kick him out of the bus, leave him on the highway. Brutal.
Yeah, you make him call a cab for himself.
Oh, but, my God.
But yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic. There's some I would like to see Lafreniere. It was nice to see him score in his hometown, but I'd like to start seeing him come out a little bit more. Kako got hurt immediately, so I haven't gotten to see too much of him, but I'd like to see.
I know how that feels.
But it does seem like they're slowly getting their chemistry back. Zibanejad's off to a pretty good start. Even though he's only got one goal, he's got a couple points, and he's way better defensively than he usually is. So if he, in the twilight of his, as he gets up here, if he starts becoming a little bit more defensive-minded, that doesn't hurt me, man. And obviously Kreider is parking his butt in front of the goal, and goals are trickling in, so that's all you can really ask for him. So, yeah. And even Panarin, who is off to a slow start, he looks bad, but then you look and like, oh, Panarin still has like 4 points and the overtime goal. So if that's what he looks like when he's bad.
He made a pass to somebody in that Toronto game. He like waited and waited and waited, like whipped it across the ice and hit the guy right on the stick. It was filthy. I wanted to think it was on the power play. But
yeah. And that's you know, that's the good thing about Artemi Panarin is that even as the foot speed slows down, the vision doesn't go anywhere. So, and that's good players. Even when they're bad, they're good. You don't realize it.
Unreal pass.
Yeah, I do want to ask about just the league in general, Gib. Are there any surprises to you so far? Yes, it's early and things could change, but between some of the way the standings are shaking out, teams that are off to a hot start, teams that look like flaming garbage, anything surprising you so far this early in the season?
I mean, the obvious ones like Buffalo having the start they're having. But I mean, let's be real. That's not going to last.
I mean, last year they got off to an excellent start and then.
I don't trust anything that happens up there when it comes to winning. Like, that's not going to last. It's just.
Well, here's an interesting stat.
I'll eat my shirt if that team finishes above 500.
Yeah. According to this gentleman nice lady on Reddit, according the bottom six teams from last year, Buffalo, Anaheim, New Jersey, Detroit, Columbus, and San Jose are 13-3-1 collectively. And the final four are, which are Montreal, Tampa, the Islanders, and Vegas are 4-9-0. So it's like everything's flipped. But again, these things will even themselves out. But I definitely wouldn't be surprised. Of the teams that look like they have new life, Detroit should definitely be a little bit better. I think the Devils definitely look a lot better, and you can just tell with the.
I actually have playoff hope for them this year. I really do. You know what? Maybe not playoff hope, but at the very minimum, let it come down to like a bubble team.
Well,
see them. I think they can be playing meaningful hockey down the stretch.
Yeah, and that's basically what.
That's all I can really ask for, and I kind of expect it.
And that's what the Rangers were doing last year. So and. I guess you could say that the Devils rebuild is only like a step or two behind them just because the Rangers
but 7 years longer.
that's true. But I mean, like I said, Fitzgerald hasn't been there that long, but you can definitely see the difference once they brought him aboard. I do want to ask about the goaltending situation before we talk. We'll talk about Shesterkin in a little bit, but between the pipes. So right now you have, to my knowledge, you have Mackenzie Blackwood, who has he decided to get the job?
Well, that's not why he hasn't been. Oh, my voice is cracked. He hasn't been playing because he's got some kind of heel problem. He had heel surgery in the offseason.
Oh, okay.
And I think it sounds like he had a setback. They wanted him to play a whole preseason game, and it never happened. And now they're saying he's not going to be ready to play until at least after the first 5 games of the season. But the Devils under the Fitzgerald regime, they handle injury like even worse than like with Lou, and they're even more like everything's day to day. Taylor Hall was day to day for 4 months. At a certain point, it's not day to day, and I don't know how many times they could sell us on day to day, which is really, it's not the Hughes thing last night is not sitting well when I hear them say it's only day to day.
Yeah,
but the Blackwood thing, I mean, he simply doesn't want to get the jab, and we don't need to get into the whole vaccine conversation.
No,
but
I guess my question is,
that's not why he hasn't been playing.
No, okay.
But so I've been very happy with Bernier, and Wedgwood, he hasn't had to see any ice yet. We've only had 2 games, but he's a steady enough backup goalie. And he's been a pretty loyal soldier for his entire career. He spent most of his career, realistically, with the Devils organization.
Oh, yeah.
I know he ventured out for a little while, but, all roads lead back to Newark, I guess.
Do you think there's a reality in which, especially if they can keep going, that they kind of roll with Bernier as their de facto guy for now until Blackwood gets back? Is Blackwood's position in this organization so much that he is the starting goaltender and it's his to lose, or is it still kind of up in the air and it's like if anyone else wants to take the seat, they can? Or do you think they're just committed to platooning a 1A, 1B type
situation? I would have thought the platooning the 1A, 1B thing, but I really don't think the vaccine thing's going over very well. with management. That's the vibe I get. I can't imagine it going over very well.
I will say it's probably wasn't going over well in Detroit, but you look at the way that Tyler Bertuzzi's playing. Winning solves a lot of problems. So
yeah, or he's not the one doing the winning right now.
That's true.
And I feel like the more games Bernier steals for the Devils, the quicker he might go get that jab.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. I do want to get into some of the finer details of that crazy game versus the Maple Leafs give, but before I do, I have a little bit of housekeeping to take care of.
Okay.
You're a football fan, right, Gibby?
I mean, I watch the Jets. I wouldn't necessarily call myself a fan.
Maybe you're a masochist. You're a football masochist.
You could say that, yeah.
Well, anyway, today's podcast is sponsored by DraftKings.
Oh my God, really?
Yes, as if
wow. You know,
if you didn't listen to the last podcast or the 200 before this one, you probably wouldn't know. But so listen, football fans, if you're hungry for a big win this week, DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. It's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you're lucky enough to live in New Jersey, Gibby, but here in New York, not so much. But don't worry, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings daily fantasy sports contests. So just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code THPN, just bet $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and you win $200 in free bets. It's that easy. They win, you win.
What a deal.
That's a great deal, right? That's promo code THPN this weekend at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. You must be 21 or older to enter. New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER. Well, Gibby, thank you for bearing with me while I do our weekly ad read. But yeah, I mean,
you have an unbelievable ad read voice.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
If you only loaded trucks as well as you read ads.
I know. it's like that video for years ago about the guy with the man with the golden voice on the side of the road, you know.
You should have applied to be the Devil's PA announcer. You better be better than the guy they have now. He sucks.
I'd have to do it really deep because my natural voice has it. Because it's always like, now you're New Jersey Devils. You know, it's like coming to the ice, your New Jersey Devil.
This new guy is awful.
But anyway, yeah, I did want to quickly ask you about that because I totally forgot about the contest. I know our friend of the podcast, host of the Devil's State of Mind podcast here on the Hockey Podcast Network, Neil Villapiano, entered the contest. Unfortunately, he didn't make it to the final round, but we love him anyway. But yeah, I mean, any thoughts on the new public address announcer?
I think he sounds like he should be at this really has nothing to do with like what we do for work or anything, but he sounds like he should be the PA guy at like a theater, like announcing it's intermission and it's time for snacks. His voice doesn't have the boom. It's a job for a fat guy. And his voice doesn't. You could tell he's just a skinny guy. His voice doesn't. It's not thick enough.
You want some husk in your public address announcer.
It's almost as like his vocal cords are like raw spaghetti.
Raw spaghetti. you want a more portly gentleman who just has polished off a platter of sausage and peppers.
Baritone, real deep.
But, yeah.
Ooh, and yeah. Now this guy.
Devils, Hawk Power.
Know, they released like the team released like their 10 finalists for the job. And I thought one of the guys was actually very, very, very good, but he didn't make it to the top three. And I don't know. That's a shame.
That's weird. But what's the Devil's goal song this year?
I think it's still that Gaslight Anthem song. Honestly, I didn't even pay attention to it last night. I think it's still that Gaslight Anthem song.
Okay,
which I actually really like. It's much less embarrassing than when they stole the Rangers goal song.
That oh, yeah. Work. At least they're not using that Joe Satriani song that every team seems to use.
Which one's that?
I think the Islanders and Minnesota use it. It's like, now. Yeah, that one.
That's bad.
It's bad.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
Yeah.
Rangers have the best goal song in the NHL, without a doubt.
Wow.
I've been standing by that for years.
I mean, it's listen, obviously Rangers fans love it, but it's very divisive. It seems it's one of those things, like, much like Chelsea Dagger, every other fans of other teams are like, oh, it's so fucking annoying. And then
it's a very good way. It gets the crowd so gassed up. And actually, the Devils did kind of steal it again. I was watching Alexander Holt's highlights of him playing in Utica, and I could hear in the goal song the hey, 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 hey. But I went and found the actual song, and it's not the same song, but they still steal the haze, and I don't like that either. But yeah. I think the Rangers have the best goal song in the whole NHL. At least the ones that I can think of off the top of my head.
I'm definitely fond of it. And it's one of those things where it's like, it's been around so long now, it'd be very strange to change it. I do like the fact that there are teams that, since they don't lack an iconic goal song, that instead they let each player choose a song, or at least if they have like a superstar. I always liked how, like, Tampa Bay, like Marty St. Louis got his own goal song, and like Steven Stamkos got Hammer Time. So I always like that. But when everyone on the team has a different goal song, I feel like it's a little too, you know, you kind of want some cohesion.
What if it's like a play like around the net? How does the guy who pushes the button?
I think they look to see who goes to get their high fives first. You know, maybe they do.
Oh,
that.
Oh yeah, because there's probably like a horn or something before he has to hit play.
Yeah, it's
okay.
He goes to the first guy in the line, and then he's like, he flips number five, and it plays like you know, some Drake song if the guy's from the GTA.
Okay. I got you, OVO. I like it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right, so Toronto you wanted to talk about, right?
Yeah, I did, because, again, that game was crazy. You said you watched it, and this is a Rangers podcast, so I would be a little remiss if we didn't get into some of the finer details. Listen, Toronto was clearly the better team that night. The Rangers had just played in Montreal, I forget if it was the day or at least the two nights before. So they looked like they were... Yeah, they definitely didn't have a lot of jump in their step. And Toronto, this was their first game versus an opponent from North America in a year since before pre-pandemic. Matthews.
Wow, I didn't even think about that. Yeah,
yep. That's right. Austin Matthews' first game back, so he was flying, obviously, and looking to get off to a good start. And they were clearly dangerous with the way they were whipping around. And listen, I think Toronto's clearly taken a lot of strides in how they defend now. They seem to defend a lot better. They're a little bit, you know, heavier on the puck, which is good for them. It's not, but they still have that ability to make, you know, find each other with nice passing plays and play a lot of East-West hockey. But again, the story was goaltending, and you have to give Jack Campbell a lot of credit because he was very good too, even though he didn't have to make as many saves as Igor Shesterkin. He had a few, you know, 10 bell saves, but it ultimately became a goaltending duel, and Shesterkin, just even on the goal that beat him, it looked like it took a little bit of maybe not enough to call goaltender interference, but a guy gets kind of pushed into the side of the net, and it's, you know, he looks like he might be falling backwards, and it's kind of squirts under him. So that's what it took to beat him. In the end, Shesterkin was the difference. But what everyone's been talking about on social media is that over the 3-on-3 overtime, which was absolutely heart attack inducing for fans of both teams and everyone else. It's just great. I love watching when you go on Reddit or on social media and it's like, yo, here's the full overtime that was insane from these two teams that you don't cheer for, because then you get to watch it and just enjoy wide open, fun hockey without that, like, oh my God, my team's about to fucking blow it, or oh my God, my team's about to win.
I love the 3-on-3. I could see why somebody would want to get rid of the shootout, and that's a conversation for another day. But I love 3-on-3, and I really hope they never make.
Yeah, well,
I wouldn't mind seeing 4-on-4 for like 5 minutes and then 3-on-3. But I love it. I really
because even for all the talk of like, oh, they've coached, you know, the fun out of it. I mean, clearly not, because the track meets happened. Because yes, there's a lot of regroups and just not trying to be as stupid. Because everyone remembers that first month when 3-on-3 entered the league. In the first season, and coaches hadn't really figured it out yet, and it was just kind of track meets back and forth. So it was a lot of fun, and then eventually it became like, nope, gonna neutral zone regroup. Get the change. Yeah, I like it too. I like there's a chess element of it.
It makes it seem a little more chess. Would you say chess match?
Yeah, like a chess
match. Yeah, I think that's a perfect way to put it.
And then there's kind of that risk reward when there's like a 50-50 puck and you're like, I either go for this and I'm at a position bad, or I win the puck and I can maybe spring my teammate. So yeah, it's very risk reward. So it's a lot of fun to, like you said. But yeah, I mean, what a performance from Shesterkin. He tries to clear the puck. It gets corralled off the end boards by Matthews. Takes a shot. He blocks it, even though Igor is literally like 20 feet in front of his net.
That was
and to make that stop while going backwards.
Yeah.
Because usually when that happens, goaltenders really panic because they know they're so far out of their net. But Igor was so locked in. He's like, I'm just going to stand here and like pump back for, you know, take a few strides back and just try to at least look big or not look like they can get around me. And he makes the save, and then he pushes across because he's so athletic and makes that Nylander far post save, and then it trickles in front of him, and Matthews is trying to get to a Petruba at the last minute, kind of tries his stick up, so just skates, it goes right through the crease into the corner, and Matthews looks like he wants to keel over because A, he's exhausted, and B, he's had a wide open cage and that could have sealed it. And then of course Panarin finally getting the proverbial monkey off his back and scoring. And it was almost kind of like unexpectedly anticlimactic ending, but it was definitely, the Rangers definitely needed that, because that's one of those games where you get really gassed up for your goaltender stealing you for one, and then you get to deliver, as opposed to you just got beaten pillar to post, your goaltender does all that, and in the end you lose because you basically didn't play so well. But like I said, they were good in the first for bits, then towards the tail end of that period, after they got their first goal, they took their feet off the gas. And then for the rest of that period and the second period, they literally got their doors blown off by Toronto. They were lucky to only be down a goal.
Same thing kind of happened to them when they played Dallas. Wait, no, I'm sorry. I have it backwards. They started slow and then they
turned it on. Yeah. And they were dominant. This is a team, I think, that's trying to figure out a new way to do things and find chemistry with new lines. And they've definitely gotten more comfortable. And the thing they're doing that I haven't seen them do the last couple of seasons with all the kids and then just the journeymen they've had in their organization and just the pond hockey they tend to play is that they're actually holding leads now and they're closing out in big moments, which was, I was used to that with Stepan and McDonough in that era and Derek Brassard.
Yeah.
But this team just,
that era of Rangers hockey, I thought was such a good era.
Yeah, like, and it's funny because on paper, I think this Rangers team they have now has infinitely more talent than that team ever had at any point in time. But again, there's a difference between having talent and being able to win hockey games and put it together. And obviously, hence, you have teams like the Islanders who, outside of Matt Barzal, maybe don't, and you could argue Anders Lee to a lesser extent, have no superstar talent, and yet lo and behold, they've been one of the best teams in the NHL for the last few seasons. So, but yeah, crazy game. OT was crazy. The Rangers have a very long layoff. They don't play until, we're recording this on a Wednesday. They don't play until tomorrow against Nashville. So when this podcast drops, they will be playing Nashville at night. Hopefully Ryan's
they don't have a game tonight, Wednesday?
No, I actually thought the Knicks play tonight, which is nice. They start their season.
Cosmo, shut the fuck up.
That's
the mailman came. He is the most mellow fucking dog in the world, but he hates the mailman. Hates him.
Yeah, I mean, for listeners at home, Cosmo is the Gibby's faithful companion. Clearly, a great guard dog, and he likes to chill out. But if you try to, step to the Gibby while he's
not even. It's just the mailman.
It's just the mailman.
It's only the mailman. Anybody could walk up. It's like he just knows the mailman comes around this.
Does the mailman have like a hat that he wears? That Cosmo?
No. Well, I was reading, and I it sounds accurate. Dogs hate the mailman because they think they scare the mailman away. Because the mailman always turns and walks away.
Oh wow, that's actually, that makes sense.
Yeah, but like people come in and out of my house all the time, and he's.
But it's like if they drop and then they sense their presence and then they just leave every time, they're like, oh, it gets solidified in their head that this is someone who I need to turn away.
And that makes a ton of sense to me.
No, that does make sense.
You know. Anyway, that's dog talk.
So I want to go back. We'll backpedal a little bit again. You went to that game the other day. And it seemed like it was electric. Dawson Mercer gets his first NHL goal, which is awesome. I mean,
he looks so good.
I was very jealous of the Devils drafting Mercer. He's a guy I really liked.
Were you? Did the Rangers have a chance to get him and they took someone else?
They had the Braden Schneider pick. Mercer?
I think they took him 24th, maybe.
Mercer was 24.
Maybe
23. Wasn't Mukahamid?
No, he was like 27th or 28th or something. Mukamadulin?
18th. So Mercer was 18th.
Oh, overall. Okay.
And then the Rangers took Braden Schneider with their second pick. And I think he was 19th.
Where was Mukamadulin picked? Mookie. He's apparently having a good season over in Russia.
Yeah.
We'll see how he works out.
And then, Mukahamadulin was selected 20th overall. So it was literally in that order. It was the Devils had the Devils picked Mercer, the Rangers picked Schneider, and then the Devils picked Mukahamadulin.
What is Schneider? Who's Schneider?
Braden Schneider, who the defenseman.
Is he playing?
He's in Hartford for the Rangers. And yeah, I mean, he looked good during camp. He's like one of those heavier, steady Eddie type defensemen, I guess, you know.
Okay.
But he looks fine. I mean, Zach Jones, who I think you could very well make a case for should be on this Rangers team right now over Nils Lundqvist, depending on who you ask, is down in Hartford as well. So the Rangers clearly have a logjam on D that they might. We'll see between the Vitali Kravtsov situation and all the cap space they have for this season only. We might see some of these guys included in a trade come, the trade before the trade deadline. But again, I want to get back to the Devils game. So Gibby,
I want to talk about Kravtsov after the Devils game.
Sure, we can get to that.
Okay.
So Dawson Mercer scores his first NHL goal. Was it a surprise he made the team out of camp?
I think they kind of had him penciled in.
The good thing about him is that physically he's a bigger kid, so he's physically can mature enough to withstand the rigors of the league, and he's a good enough skater. But also the fact that his game, he's a pretty good player off the puck. He's always kind of attentive to his details, whereas if you have a kid like Holtz, where maybe they have a not only an NHL quality, but an elite quality shot, but they need some time to develop their play off the puck. Hence, he gets sent to Utica. But it looks like it's working out because he's lighting it up down there.
It seems like the thing about him getting sent back down is, like, from what it sounds like, is he wasn't going to be able to play top 6 minutes.
Yeah, he's a top six offensive player.
Better to send him down there than let him play on the fourth line.
It's like, and especially a guy who is a lot of it is using that one timer and catch and release shooting. If you play him with bottom, six players or fourth liners, it's like he's not going to get those chances. So it's better to let him just play, PP1 in top line minutes in Utica in the AHL. But awesome for Mercer. Obviously, it was kind of a mixed bag of a game because Jack Hughes gets injured. You led with this up top. You wanted to talk about this. I want to get your take on the Jack Hughes injury.
Well, my seats were, I couldn't necessarily see what happened. I was kind of sitting, when you're sitting basically where my seats were, I couldn't see that corner of the ice, which kind of was annoying. And like everybody's telling me, he basically got suplexed. So by the time I was able to get home and watch, I was like, this is some scumbag hockey. I don't like the way these Krakens, this team is. I don't like their brand of hockey. They're just playing like dirtbags, it seems like. I don't know. You're going to do that to a star player like Jeremy Lazan? Like, who even gives a shit about Jeremy Lazan? He's a bum.
Because Seattle.
They're off to a bad start, and they just need to do something.
Well, yeah. Listen, they don't have Yanni Gourde's their best player. And I mean, listen, I think everyone knew that anyone who was smart knew they probably wouldn't get off to the same start, that they weren't lucky enough in that they weren't gifted some low key superstars like Marchessault or.
Yeah, but that's not.
Well, not a superstar.
People didn't think Vegas was going to be what they were.
Well, no one, Vegas took people by surprise. Yeah. Whereas I think with no one, I don't think anyone was because of that. I don't think anyone was like, especially GMs when they were sending their players over, you didn't see the same, like, we're going to make deals to keep this guy and give you a young promising guy instead. They kind of almost reserved the flip. They're like, nope, we'll keep the guy. Even if he's having trouble putting it out, we'll let him pan out. We'll give you the guy who's maybe a little bit, is more of a sure thing. He's 25 years old or whatever. But the Kraken have had six fights in their first five games. So clearly, you know, that's reflective of them getting outplayed, but trying to have some pushback. And yeah, ultimately they're not, they probably won't be,
that
won't
guy
be a winning season.
The Flyers, I forget who it was. He beat the wheels off Nathan.
Oh,
wow.
They took
from New Jersey. Oh my God. It was terrible. I just pictured myself eating those punches.
Yeah, that was Nate Thompson, right?
Yes, it was Nate Thompson.
Yeah, so little Nate on Nathan action.
Ugly fight.
Yeah. But yeah, obviously the Hughes situation didn't look good. It looks like
I was sitting right next to the tunnel, and I heard him just come down and just yell, "Fuck!" right when he got off the ice. I was like, "Oh, this is not good."
It looked like a separated shoulder to me. You hope it's nothing.
Yeah, I like that doctor. Have you started to notice that doctor who's been popping up on Twitter?
Oh yeah,
the hockey injuries.
We should give him a.
I forget his handle. I only just started following him after last night, but
yeah, he's done that. I think he was doing that a little bit last year. I gotta try to pull it up because it is a great follow if you were an NHL fan. Because obviously, yes, it's Dr.
Harjas
Gruel. Yeah. And
excuse me if I have the pronunciation wrong.
He is the University of Manitoba Family Medicine and Resident. And he tweets about NHL injuries. So when something happens, he will give his take. So,
yeah,
you know, there's a video of the Jack Hughes injury. And he says, appears to be a separated shoulder for Jack Hughes. Depends on grade, but typically NHLers miss 7 to 10 days if grade one, 2 to 3 weeks for grade two, and up from there. Also possibly, but less likely, is a broken collarbone and would want to rule out concussion also. Hashtag New Jersey Devil. So this is great because obviously when you're watching a player on your team go down to injury, your first thought is fuck. Your second thought is what happened to him? And your third thought is how long is he going to be out? And this guy is tweeting out, he's got the video, and he's like, this is in my medical opinion from just watching it, what it looks like, and this is what the reality could be. So great, like you said, great follow, but again, it definitely wasn't good looking. And I mean, Hughes, he has the OT winner the other day. He looks like he's buzzing. He's definitely manipulating time and space much more confidently.
It's great.
I saw him putting a puck between guys' legs. So, and I think that'll, you can see that might be the one thing with him is that because he is a little bit of a slighter guy anyway, even as he matures, he might have to be careful about
that.
He's
also had shoulder problems, if I remember correctly, in the past. So,
yeah, this is not good. Yeah. But again, you hope he's okay. You know, again, we thought Ryan Reeves had it like blew his ACL out. He was good to go a couple days later. So you never know. But obviously, Hughes did not partake in morning skate today.
No.
So and like you said, that the Devils, a lot of organizations are usually try to keep it on the DL. Nikita Kucherov also sustains an injury and is gonna go on LTIR. So it'll be interesting to see what comes of that.
What was your take on that whole thing last year with the
I didn't mind it. Listen. Any other team, if it was any other team in any other situation, they would say, we're losing our best player for the whole regular season. We're like, you know, this, like, we're in trouble. But because it's Tampa and they've drafted so well and they have plenty of guys, they were good there. Without him, they're still one of the top teams in the league because they already have Braden Point and Stamkos and really just a really top, you know, or not even just really deep team and excellent defensemen and some of the best goaltending in the NHL, they were fine. And then they got him back. So all this, the crying and the belly aching over the circumvention, just be upset that your GM didn't do as good of a job. You should be mad at your GM, not mad at them, because it's totally, like I said, if that was the Blackhawks did it with Patrick Kane a few seasons ago. Everyone forgets that. 5 years ago.
What bothers me most about it, and I know we've talked about it at work, but for, you know, your listeners, I just want to give my opinion.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
You know, they're calling it, people are calling it cap circumvention. So, on paper, I don't necessarily have a problem with what they did because they didn't technically break any rules. Where I have a problem with it is the Devils lost a first-round draft pick for cap circumvention for the Kovalchuk contract. They didn't technically break any rules either. You know, and I understand it's two different circumstances, but it's cap circumvention that didn't technically break any rules.
Yeah.
And the league hammered him. Like, I don't know. It just seems kind of. Both were cap circumvention. Both didn't break any rules whatsoever. Devils lose a pick.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that was because Lou has a rep as someone who they call him Loophole Lou for a reason. So they're like, he must be up to no good. It's almost like, you know, Boy Who Cried Wolf, where there maybe they had a case that they should have got away with that one, or it shouldn't have been a fine or anything. But that's what
happened. I just feel like, you know, if they're gonna. If they're going to charge the Devils a first-round pick.
But then in the end, they didn't have to pay it, right?
Only because he left for Russia. That's it.
Oh, that's right. Well, here's the thing. You wonder. It does make you wonder. But anyway, yeah. I don't necessarily mind it. Again, I think Tampa, if anything, this year, they're definitely not. They lost a lot of their good players, yeah. Or at least their middle six players, so that they could probably use them this year. I mean, they'll still be good, but they'll be in the mix. But, you know, Florida might be the best.
You got Goodrow came from there, right?
Yeah, we got Barkley Goodrow from there.
Was he like a middle six player for them?
Yeah, he was on a line.
But he's a prime example of who you're talking about. Left.
Yeah, they lost Palat, who's in Seattle now. And then. Yeah, they lost a few guys, so they lost some defensemen on the back end too. So David Savard, you know, a few other guys. So
yeah,
but again, they that team tends to find a way. So who knows? And maybe, you know, if Vasilevsky just doesn't have the season he had last year, but Hedman could bounce back because he had a rough season. They were lucky enough that they had between Chernak and McDonough, they had plenty of good defensemen. But yeah, just again, it's a team that's getting a little bit older, mm-hmm. you know. So. Just interesting to see right now. The Panthers, the Cats might be the best team in Florida, but
gotten to watch any of their games yet. But a good buddy of mine grew up in South Florida, he's a huge Panthers fan, and he is on cloud nine right now.
Yeah, they look good for him. It looks like it's coming together.
The best.
It would be very cool to see them win their first.
Has Bobrovsky been playing goalie?
Yeah, and he's been good.
Okay.
But also Spencer Knight's been playing too, and he's been good. So
okay.
It's early days.
Have another goalie in that system, or they lose him?
They had.
I remember there was a third one.
I think they lost the third one. Okay. I forget the. I know who you're talking about. I forget his name. But was it Montebaum? Is that him? Whatever.
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. We're gonna wind this one down. But very last thing that is relevant to the New York Rangers, and you said you wanted to talk about it. Vitali Kravtsov.
I'm more concerned. Do you think Drury's to blame for this?
All right.
Or do you think Kravtsov's just being a baby?
On our last podcast, James and I kind of broke down the situation.
Yeah.
Since then, a little bit new information has dropped. And again, it's you always have to take these things with a grain of salt. It could definitely be Kravtsov's agent or, you know.
I read the Athletic article, yeah.
Yeah, in a nutshell, Arthur Staple, who is in now that Rick Carpinello will be stepping away from the Rangers for the Athletic, Arthur Staple will be covering not just the Islanders, but the Rangers as well. He releases a story kind of deep diving into the situation, and there's report that when Kravtsov originally didn't make the NHL team, not last season, the season before COVID, he got sent down to Hartford. He kind of pouted and it wasn't working well, and he eventually decided to use his opt-out clause, go back to the KHL. And listen, that's a clause that he got. But apparently, as he went to go get his equipment to say goodbye to his teammates, I'm going back to the KHL, Chris Drury basically like called him out and said, called him, he was quitting on his team or whatever.
And that's when he was the assistant GM, correct?
Yes, he was the assistant GM of Hartford. He was the general manager of the Hartford Wolfpack and the assistant GM.
Okay.
He was the assistant general manager of the New York Rangers, but he was also the full-time GM. He was basically charged with restoring, because the Wolfpack was basically an afterthought for the Rangers while they were good. It was just because, you know, they were always going for it. So why do you need development? Yeah. They had no one to develop. But other people are coming out of the woodwork talking about there was multiple incidents of, you know, questioning his conditioning and, you know, but also people saying Kravtsov has always had an issue and like a chip on his shoulder and didn't do what they wanted him to do and refused to train how they wanted to train. He wasn't giving effort. And it becomes a lot of he said. So I think my take on all this is there's blame to go on both sides. If you have to, personal feelings are involved, okay, but Kravtsov's to blame because you know, if at any time he took his assignments seriously or to heart and not as a slight or personal slight, we probably wouldn't be in this situation. Philip Hedl was penciled in for 2C last year or the season before, and he didn't make the team out of camp. They sent him down. So he went down there. He killed it, and they brought him up after a month, and he never went back. You know what I mean? And it was a better player because of it. Kravtsov should have did the same thing. And even now, apparently Kravtsov was under the impression that he was going to get traded. His name was this summer. His name was included in a lot of like Eichel preemptive talk and Dano and all these other guys. And because, yeah, he's got pedigree. So your name's going to be in your GM's mouth. And obviously that gets back to players and they go like, oh, well, they don't want me anyway. And they traded Buchnevich, who was my friend or whatever. And yeah, I don't know. It's just it's again, there's blame to go on both sides. Drury and, you know, a lot of it also falls on Jeff Gorton when he was there, because it was that started under his watch, and the same thing kind of happened with Elias Anderson. So whether you're drafting a kid with character concerns or a chip on his shoulder, and it's not the good kind of chip, it's hard. Obviously, some of these times these things don't reveal themselves till after you draft them. But
yeah,
Kravtsov is obviously being a bit of a prima donna about the whole situation. But at the same time, it's like the Rangers, from an asset recoupment, if you knew that you were having these issues with him and you didn't shop him on the DL and just be like, you could have said, listen, you know, I kind of got a logjam going here between Lafreniere and Kreider and Panarin, and he's kind of the odd man out, but he's a talented kid.
Okay.
You're not going to take a bath on it. But now it gets to this point, you know, the player's not happy. You're going to take a bath on value. So that's on Drury for not recognizing this or mitigating this. Apparently, Gerard Gallant, Elliot Friedman reported Gallant called Kravtsov to ask him to come back to the team because they're dealing with some injuries now. And, you know, if it's funny, if he had went to Hartford and then this happened, he would be called up already, probably, you know, so he'd be the next man up and he'd get his chance. But again, a lot of it, the reason they sent him down in the first place was they didn't want to lose Libor Hájek for nothing, which is funny because Libor Hájek is not very good. So, you know, you think you're trying to save, you end up costing yourself more value in the end, but I guess they just didn't foresee this was happening. And it was almost became a self-fulfilling thing, I think, to Chris Drury, who was like angry with him because, listen, I don't know if you know this, Chris Drury, winner of the Little League World Series. And he, you know, that this type of behavior would not win you a Little League World Series in his
life. A bad feeling. Like, I say this as a, I think I'm a pretty
even keel or but neutral.
Like, I don't hate the Rangers at all. Like most Devils fans. I keep them at pretty high respect for the most part. I mean, they have some lunatic fans that, you know, me and you have to deal with on a regular basis. But like, as an organization, I don't really have much of a problem with them. I have a very bad feeling about Chris Drury as the GM of this team.
And I have
really, I really don't like, and I think Dolan, I have a bad feeling about Dolan sticking his hands in his, don't get me wrong, I hope he does. I hope the Rangers fall flat on their face. But like, if I were a Ranger fan, I would have a very, very, very bad gut feeling about how things are going to go with Drury. Something about I don't like it. Something
stinks. Yeah. Well, yeah. And if you look on social media,
he's kind of happy that like things ended the way they did with Gorton and Davidson.
You know, listen,
he's the only one that came out of that
with a promotion.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, obviously there's a lot of that's been flying around that it was like, say that again.
Is he the Isaiah Thomas?
I'm not sure, but you know, there's a lot of people painting it as this almost Shakespearean, you know, double turn, double cross, orchestrated by him.
Don't like it.
But I think at the end of the day, I think what it is Chris Drury clearly lacks the seasoning of a Jeff Gorton, but at the same time, he's got stones. He's going to be one of those guys that. He has a vision and he's going to try to put the pieces in place as he sees it. And either it works out and he looks like a genius or it blows up horribly in his face. And he looks like literally like an incompetent bum, you know? Yeah. So, but I think he's fine with that. He's putting it on the line and he's going in, he's trading, he's overpaying the players he wants. He's trading players he's like, I can't afford Buchnevich in the future. I don't want to deal with that headache down the road or whatever. So he's like, I'm just getting him off my books now. You know, he's one of those type of GMs where I think if it was Jeff Gorton, he would say, you know, no, we'll keep him. And then when that time comes, but he's probably thinking
his value might be higher now.
Well, yeah, but again, he still didn't get good value for him. He got a second and Sammy Blay, which is not good value for Buchnevich, because I've liked Blay a lot. I think he's going to be just what this team needs, but he's never going to be as good of a player. He's not going to be as much of an offensive contributor and maybe off the puck as Buchnevich, who's just a flat-out better player. But he's like, I got to pay Zibanejad. I got to pay Adam Fox eventually. I'm going to have to pay Lafreniere and Kako eventually when they come off their ELCs. There's just too much money. I'm already paying Kreider and Trouba $7 and $8 million respectively. It's just too much cap turn. So he's just like, I'm getting them off my books now, so I have cap space going into the next trade deadline, so I can use it to see as I see fit. Because clearly there was a mandate that you got to be competitive now. So that's what he's doing, and I don't agree with a lot of it. I had a real nice feeling about John Davidson as the grandpa of the New York Rangers. And Gorton kind of taking
brought Columbus back from the dead.
He's going to do it again. And look at Columbus now; they're having a good start.
Rangers were looking good under his watch.
But again, I as what I say, the Rangers at least look like they're trending upwards.
I agree.
So we'll see. We'll see. Again, it's one of those things. I think it's competitive or playoffs or bust for him. So it's either he's going to look like an idiot trying, or he's going to. It will be not for naught. So we'll see. Gibby, I'm going to wrap this up here. Thank you so much for filling in. Sure James wished. Always fun talking puck with you. We'll definitely check in with you as the Rangers and the Devils tangle later this season.
Yes.
Especially with Ryan Reeves promising there might be some theatrics going on. So we'll see if that comes of that. If people are listening to the podcast, Gibby, and they're like, this guy, he is quite a character. I need to follow him on a daily basis. Where can people follow you on social media? If you want, you don't have to say.
Just leave me alone.
All right. We'll leave the Gibby alone. You can follow us at Broadway Boys Pod on Twitter. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. And we have some guests coming up, which will be a lot of fun. Our other fellow podcasts here on the Hockey Podcast Network. We do a lot of special events together, and we will jump in each other's pods, and got some tentative talks with some beat writers to come on. So that's a lot of fun. People covering the Rangers beat.
It'd be nice to have beat reporters. The Devils don't even have, they have like one. Well, I like the Massasek guy, Corey. He's
Corey Massasek, yeah.
Boy, the Rangers beat.
We'll save Amanda Stein's handwriting for another your future episode with you. But thank you everyone for listening. The Rangers have a busy weekend coming up here, so hopefully they can come out of the road trip on top in the win column. And we'll see you all next Monday. Peace.
Hell yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Broadway Boys Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Broadway Boys Pod, and please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, or thehockeypodcastnetwork.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.